Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again.
Hi there. You're listening to Royals, the only podcast that goes behind the walls of Buckingham Palace. I'm your host for today, Zoe Burrell, and I'm a writer about all things royal at New Idea Magazine.
And I'm Angela Mollard. I'm a journalist, author, commentator, and royal expert.
And today we're bringing you a special podcast to catch you up on everything the Queen said in her recent coronavirus speech.
I'm speaking to you at what I know is an increasingly challenging time, a time of disruption in the life of our country, a disruption that has brought grief to some, financial difficulties to many, and enormous changes to the daily lives of us all.
Wasn't it lovely? Did you watch it?
It was. Yes, I watched it this morning, first thing when I got up.
I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I've read all the commentary around the globe this morning on it, and everyone's saying the same thing, that she absolutely nailed it. The tone of it was perfect. It was nostalgic, yet it was really modern. It was garnering people together, galvanising them, and yet it still had that sort of regal sense that the monarchy imparts. It gave a sense of constancy and security and stability. Absolutely astonishing. 523 words it was.
I wasn't counting.
I'm there for the details. I love the way that people in Britain took photographs of themselves watching the Queen's speech, and sort of social media has gone nuts with people showing photos of themselves watching it, which was really lovely. But I think one of the interesting things, Zoe, was how it was actually, let's first talk about what she said.
So yes, let's dive in.
What did you like about it?
Oh, look, I mean, I just loved that she looked so calm, so stoic, and just, I feel, really appealed to the people.
I thought so too. I thought it was a speech for young and old. It was a speech for right now, and it was a speech for the past. Look, I love the fact that she evoked the spirit of the Blitz. You know, during the war, she mentioned that she and her sister, in fact, exactly 80 years ago. So can you believe 80 years ago she gave her first speech as a little girl, aged 14. She was trying to calm other children during the war that had been sent away from London. She and her sister did it together, and she mentioned that speech. In fact, that was the only other member of the royal family that she mentioned. I like the way that right at the end she said, you know, we should take comfort that while we may have still more to endure, better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again. And, of course, those are the famous words of Dame Vera Lynn, who was turned 103 last month. So, you know, she was one of the poster girls of the war. And I thought it was lovely that the Queen invoked that. Look, it was one of those speeches that thanked people, that thanked the nurses, that thanked, you know, not directly, but made a point of recognising those people like supermarket workers who are doing so much at the moment. She recognised that it was a time of disruption and of grief. She wanted to thank people that were staying at home. She went on to say that, you know, we will remember this year as a year in which we came together. She recognised the Commonwealth. She talked about heartwarming stories of people delivering food parcels and medicines and checking on neighbours. She actually acknowledged that self-isolation is hard.
And though self-isolating may at times be hard, many people of all faiths and of none are discovering that it presents an opportunity to slow down, pause and reflect in prayer or meditation.
She talked about faith, but not just one faith. She recognised that some people, for them, faith was meditation. And she basically said, you know, we will get through this, that, you know, that using the great advances of science and our instinctive compassion to heal, we will succeed, and that success will belong to every one of us. We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return. I thought it was absolutely lovely. The situation around actually recording it was interesting. It was a sole cameraman wearing latex gloves and surgical masks. It was someone from the BBC. He was more than 2 meters away, and the rest of the technical team were actually in another room.
Wow, that's so fascinating, because I was going to say it doesn't look like your Zoom meeting that everyone's doing. No. It looked very professional.
It did, didn't it? And it took place in the white drawing room at Windsor Castle. And what I thought was also very interesting is that there were no sort of family photos around. It was just some flowers there, you know, very straightforward. It was a message that where nothing was done to detract. In fact, Buckingham Palace didn't even release any details about her dress, her necklace, the beautiful brooch she wore. I mean, she wore that gorgeous green emerald dress, but there were no details published about that. You know, what they were trying to do was very much focus on the speech and the messages of the speech rather than the decoration and detail around it. But yes, the conditions in which it was recorded was not at all like a Zoom meeting. We had nice, clear. The Queen looked very calm. She had her hands sort of folded in her lap throughout. And I think also, Zoe, that it's important to mention the timing of this speech. So there was, you know, negotiation between the palace and, of course, Downing Street. We know that the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, about the same time that the speech was being delivered, he was taken to hospital. He's still suffering from coronavirus, and those symptoms have, if not worsened, they continue to be problematic. So the timing of it was discussed with the government. There was a thought that it should be done at Easter, but of course Easter is representative of a religious holiday, and the Queen wanted it to be at a time that spoke to everybody. Sunday night in the UK at 6 p.m. I think the timing was perfect. Prince Charles and of course Prince William have already given speeches, but people were waiting for the Queen, and it's not common for her to give a speech.
No, well, isn't this only the fifth time she's given an address like this?
That's right, Zoe. This is only the fifth time that she has addressed the nation, other than, of course, her Christmas addresses, which she does every year. The other times were when it was her Diamond Jubilee message in June 2012. She gave a speech to mark the fact that she was deeply touched by the nation celebrating the 60th anniversary of her accession to the throne. She also did a speech on the death of the Queen Mother in April 2002. She spoke about her mother who'd lived to the age of 101. She talked about this extraordinary century that she had lived and the fact it wasn't without trials and sorrows. Of course, she very memorably spoke on the death of Princess Diana in September 1997. This was the evening before Diana's funeral. This was a speech that was much needed at the time. I was living in the UK at the time, and there had been a good week of consternation from the public towards the monarchy and their lack of compassion, really, and empathy. And that speech was the speech where she said she was speaking as your queen and as a grandmother. That as a grandmother, of course, was added by the government at the time. That was their suggestion that she put that in. And then the last time, the fourth time, other than the one she's just given, is during the First World Gulf War in February 1991. She addressed the world as they went to war in Iraq. And, you know, again, it was a historic speech. I thought what was really interesting about her speech around coronavirus is that it invoked her father's speech, the King's Speech in 1939. Of course, there's that famous movie about the King's Speech.
Oh, yes, I love that movie.
And how difficult it was for him to speak because, you know, he had the stutter and he had to learn how to speak. Now, she obviously has no such concerns, but I loved that it was evocative of that. There were references to the war, to the Blitz, and, you know, something that she had gone through before.
Yeah, I found it really fascinating. And as you say, having only given four other addresses like this, I think I was talking to my boyfriend this morning. I'm like, this is actually a really big deal when we were watching it.
I know. And I think, you know, the thing about the Queen is that she is a symbol of duty, and she has the ability to harness that duty in the rest of us. And I think the timing in the UK, you know, the number of deaths has been accelerating there as Spain and Italy are starting to sort of show some signs of tapering. Britain is still the fear that it still has the worst ahead of them. I think her timing is extraordinary and smart, you know, really, really smart to have done it then. I also think, you know, This is a woman that also lived in Windsor. She was sent to Windsor as a young girl when the World War II was happening. And her mother, the Queen Mother, who we were just talking about, one of her speeches, was her mother was very happy when Buckingham Palace had been bombed in 1940. And she said at the time that she was glad it had been bombed because she could look the East End in the face. And that meant that she could look at other classes in the UK and sort of know how they felt. She could connect with them because it had happened to her family. And I think this was very much at the heart of the Queen's message, is that, you know, this is happening to all of us. And, you know, while the Queen has lovely, you know, meals brought to her, and we know that she's in lockdown with Angela Kelly, her dresser, who's a single woman in her 50s who's been with her for, you know, a couple of decades and is great fun. I mean, I've read her book on her stories of working for the Queen and looking after her wardrobe. And she sounds like she's, you know, lovely, gorgeous, you know, happy woman. I think that the Queen, those relationships are very important to her because, of course, at the moment she can't spend any time with her family. We know Prince Charles is in Scotland. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are, of course, at Anne Hall in Norfolk. So the royal family is very separate, like the rest of us at the moment.
Yeah, well, and as we know, coronavirus obviously doesn't pick and choose, as we've seen Prince Charles also be diagnosed with it. So it is something that hits very close to home to them as well.
That's right. You're right, Zoe. Of course, you know, the great worry is that the Queen at 93, or in fact the Duke of Edinburgh at 98, are incredibly vulnerable, older people, hence the great care that was taken in making sure that the cameraman was dressed in protective gear. I also meant to mention that apparently all the lighting and sound equipment was put into Windsor Castle the day before, so it was set up in the room, and then palace staff went over it with disinfectant themselves. Had to be left there for 24 hours while they went, you know, with their jiffy cloths over it before the Queen entered the room. So no stone was left unturned in making sure that this was a very healthy and sanitized area for her to give her speech. What do you think was your favorite line of it?
Oh, well, I was just thinking about that. I really liked that reference that you mentioned earlier to Vera Lynn. I thought that was just so emotive.
I thought that was lovely too. My favorite was the line about that the attributes of self-discipline, of quiet, good, hot-humoured resolve and of fellow feeling still characterise this country, and I'm sure she means the rest of the world by that. But I love those words, that fellow feeling, which is basically, you know, a sense of taking care of others around you. And what was, you know, what I really liked about that was that the Queen could have actually been describing herself, that those attributes of self-discipline, of quiet, good-humoured resolve and fellow feeling are really what has characterised her very long reign. It was a gorgeous line, and it, to me, really summed up the tone of the speech.
Yes, I agree with you there. Well, it certainly was a history-making morning this morning, wasn't it?
It was, and some commentators have been comparing some of the lines in it to Winston Churchill's addresses. So to be compared to that kind of statesman in terms of rhetoric, I think it's you know, she's done an extraordinary job, and as I say, all the commentary around it this morning is that she absolutely nailed it. Apparently wrote it herself, had Prince Charles and Downing Street look over it, but it was largely unchanged. So, you know, she really does know how to write a good speech, doesn't she?
And wow.
At a time. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk again soon, Zoe. Hopefully members of the royal family will fall from this this disease, and I'll let you get back to your WFH.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Zoe.
And thank you to everyone for listening. For more on the royals, please go to newidea.com.au or our Facebook page, New Idea Royals. And of course, don't forget to pick up a copy of New Idea Royals Monthly, on sale now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.